I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
We're going to begin this morning by singing a chorus. Lord, I lift your name on high. You may remain seated. Each of you in the Lord's house this morning. We started off with that song, and I thought to myself, I hear something different. As Kathy King has moved back from Tennessee. She didn't really move back. I think she's just back for a visit. Yeah. Well, she's welcome to move back. Absolutely. You think you're going to retire to Vermont?
Oh.
Okay. Good to see each of you, and certainly as summer approaches more, it's always great too to see our snowbirds begin to fly back north here. It's always good to see you as well. Let's open up our service with a word of prayer, and again, good to see all these smiling faces. Father in heaven, I do pray that you be with us this morning as we come to worship you. We ask that it would be your Holy Spirit that stirs in our midst and draws us near. Help us as we lift our hearts in prayer, and Lord, as we lift up our voices in song, and as we look into your word for you to minister to us, I just genuinely pray that you would stir within us a revival, a renewing. Certainly, Lord, as we each week see more of our people return, I just pray that you would help us as a church to be unified, working together to honor and glorify you. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
I'd like to invite you to stand as we sing the chorus of God Bless America. It's frozen. All right, let's see. How many of you think you could do it without the words? Some of you? We can carry it while you're getting there. We can do it. Ready? Here we go.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, why do we go?
One more time, here we go.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with gold.
Because it's Memorial Day, and as we sang God Bless America, it just reminds me, you know, we should be a people who are a thankful people. Even if the rest of the country goes crazy, we as Christians ought to say, thank you, Lord, for the home we live in. Thank you for what you've given us. God bless America. Amen? Amen. Got a little video for you.
They stood side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and answered the call. They moved forward, advancing the ideas that everyone was free, everyone was created equal, everyone has the right to pursue their own dreams, and that our nation was founded on those ideals. But not all of them came back. Some remained, never to go home, never to see their families. And some we lost this side of the field of battle. They were sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, greatly loved. They charged forward for honor and peace and freedom. We acknowledge the empty space where we want them to be. Together we pay sincere tribute to those who fought for us, those we remember, those we love.
As we were preparing for this morning's service on Memorial Day weekend, One of the things I try to do every year is I go back and just do a little reading about Memorial Day and where it began, what it means. It's a good reminder. We are such a hectic and busy society today, and so very comfortable in many ways, that we forget that other people paid for us to have that privilege of being so busy and to be so comfortable. As I was reading about the beginning of Memorial Day, it's so ironic to me that even that is under debate. Everything in our country is in question, isn't it? But everything I really look at historically is that it goes all the way back to the Civil War. That at the end of the Civil War, there were groups of people, both from the North and the South, who would take a day a year to just remember. And that kind of morphed into our modern day Memorial Day. And it is good for us to remember. So sometime today, sometime tomorrow, take a moment. Just take a moment of silence. Get away from all the noise. Just remember those who have fought and paid for the price for you and I to enjoy what we enjoy today. Amen? Let's have the ushers come forward. We're going to take up the offering this morning. I mentioned last week our ushers, you guys can come forward. I mentioned last week that we resumed doing the offering. The offering box is still out there in the foyer. If you are uncomfortable touching the offering plates, I will tell you, though, that the CDC has said that they no longer believe that COVID has passed off of hard surfaces. So there are a lot of things that as we get farther down the pike here, we learn more and more, don't we? And we are taking the offering as we used to do. If you don't want to touch the offering plate, then just wave it on. And certainly the offering box is out in the foyer, and you are more than welcome to use that as well. And I mentioned last week that throughout the Bible, taking the offering, taking an offering, giving an offering is a real part of worship. And so that's why we want to renew it. That's why we want to bring it back, is because it's just part of worship. So let's have a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the offering. Father in heaven, I pray that you be with us as we take this offering this morning. I pray that you help us to reflect on how grateful we are to you for your many blessings to us. Help us to reflect on how grateful we are that there were people who were willing to go and to fight and to defend that we as a nation might remain free. And Lord, we do thank you this morning for each person who has chosen to come and to worship. I pray that you would accept this offering as unto you, that it might be used for the furtherance of the gospel both here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
saying goodbye for a distant land, leaving behind a little girl, a little man, leaving behind a place and people you call home, laying your life down for someone you've never known. Freedom is costly, but never free. Many have paid the price of life for liberty. Where would we be had no one ever sacrificed? Here's to every warrior willing to lay down their life. I salute you. I salute you. As an American who's proud of who you are, I salute you, I salute you, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the laying down of life, freedom's greatest sacrifice. I salute you, oh, I salute you. Returned, stoking the flames in hearts where freedom's passions burn, giving up life and limb and home and family, standing in courage, risking all for liberty. I salute you. I salute you. As an American who's proud of who you are, I salute you. Oh, I salute you. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the laying down of life, freedom's greatest sacrifice. Oh, I salute you. Oh, I salute you. Oh, I salute you. Oh, I salute you.
In your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the very first chapter, chapter 1. I'm going to read to you verses 1 down through 10, which is the entire chapter. We're actually going to focus on verses 2 and 3, but I want you to see the whole context, and that's why I'm going to read to you all of the verses. Title of my message this morning is Remembrances. Memorial Day. Memorial Day is really a time to remember. It's a time of reflection. And while you and I, maybe many of us, have not lost somebody who went into the service and never was able to come home, certainly all of us should be grateful for those who were willing to do that. And we should have hearts that are compassionate for those families that did send off a young man or a young woman who never did come home. Remembrances are a part of all of our lives. This week, we did the graveside service for Rudy and Mary and myself and her family and a few friends. We gathered at the cemetery in Vergennes and we remembered and we prayed. We looked into the scriptures and we said goodbye to an old friend. but maybe more appropriate to say au revoir, we'll see you again. But as we look into these scriptures that I'm going to take you to, we see that they also, all the way back at the time of the Bible, remembered. You see, it's part of the human psyche. It's the part of the human nature to remember, to not just forget and move on, but to reflect. And so as we look at this text, we find that the apostle writes to the church in Thessalonica. And in part of this text, he simply talks about his remembrances concerning them. And you and I in our Christian lives, you and I in our daily lives, in our family, on our job, in our community, it should be that we're living a life that one day will bring forth good, positive memories of us. It should not be that folks are sitting around someday talking about me or you, and they say, oh, wow, what a piece of work that person was, and they tell every bad story under the sun. It should be that people go ahead and say, yeah, you know, I remember them for this, for that, that's positive and good. And that's actually what we find the Apostle Paul doing as he writes to the church in Thessalonica, as God inspires him to pen these words. Listen as I read down for you. And again, verses 2 and 3 are really the focus of our message. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and in our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So as we read this very first chapter, over and over again, we find the Apostle Paul tapping into remembrances, tapping into what he knows and what he experienced and what they got from their experience, from him having gone to Thessalonica. As we come to verses 2 and 3, we really get to the center of the subject of remembrances. Let me read those two verses to you again. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. So we find him specifically saying to the church, he says, I remember and I pray for you because of the things that I remember about you. First of all, he says, I remember your work of faith. And how I hope that in each of our lives, someday, years from now, 100 years from now, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren will say, I remember their great work of faith. Their faith. How that they were genuine and sincere and it was real. It was not hypocritical. It was faith that honored God. I want you to turn with me, if you would, just a few pages before where we are, Philippians chapter 2. Look with me at verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see, when he talks about the church in Thessalonica and their good work of faith, and when you are remembered for your good work of faith, we remember that the Bible challenges us. He challenges us to do that work of faith, that we might know and love the Lord, that we might walk with him. He's not talking about works for salvation. He's talking about works because of salvation. Our faith at work in us. We never forget that the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He's not talking about trying to earn our way to heaven. That's not what your work of faith is. Your work of faith is after you receive Christ as your Savior. In genuine, sincere faith, then you begin to do the work of faith. God in you, through you. You honor him in your daily walk. We see in the scriptures that this is a walk of obedience. It's a self-motivated walk. It's an empowered walk. In fact, when you look there in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, you see him reference those things. And it's important for us to understand that God really does have an expectation when it comes to our Christian walk. This morning in men's prayer breakfast, as we finished eating and Brother Paul and Kurt did an amazing job. We had, kind of like an Egg McMuffin, but we're not violating the copyright of McDonald's in any way, shape, or form. And then we had some fruit. We had some yogurt. But after all the good food was eaten, we sat and we talked. And we shared prayer requests, some burdens upon our hearts. Things that we need one another to pray for. And certainly one of the things that came up over and over again is to pray for our church. As we have gone through this deep valley of the whole COVID experience over the last year, not just us, globally. In fact, if you read your letters from the missionaries around the world, you'll see that some of them have gone through much deeper waters than we have through this COVID time. But still, as a church, we need to pray for one another, that we as a church, our walk, our work of faith would continue. We do live in a world that so desperately needs to hear of Christ, his love, his sacrifice, that they might find hope and eternal life in him. We have to do the work of faith. So we find the Apostle Paul here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, verse 3, he says, I remember your great work of faith. But if you go back with me to that text, you'll see that he moves on to the second thing. Verse 3, he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. It is really important for us to remember that all that we should be done, all that we do should be done through the love of God in our hearts and our souls. We have to always temper the way we approach things with love. It's kind of like your kids. They can make you so mad you're on the edge of losing your mind. But you temper it with that love, that unconditional love you have for them. That's what keeps you from snapping their little head off, is that love you have in your heart. Amen? And that's the same thing with God. He looks down at you and I, and we try his patience ever so much. And I'm sure there's more than once it's crossed his mind, it would only but take a thought, and you would be gone. But because he loves us, he is long-suffering, patient. He works with us where we are. The Apostle Paul says concerning the church in Thessalonica, as I remember you, I remember your labor of love. Tabitha in the book of Acts is a great example of somebody who labored in love. Look with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 9, and we will introduce you to Tabitha. Although many of you, as you read your Bible, you come across the text and you may remember her well. Acts chapter 9. Look with me down at verse 36 as we're introduced to her. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and she died. Whom when they had washed her, they laid her in her upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. When we look at this text, we are introduced to this lady, Tabitha. This lady who did works of love. She had compassion for the other widows. She had compassion for the other people in her church community. And it tells us that she took her love and she put it into making things for them. Coats and clothing. And for you and I today, we might think to ourselves, well, that's not really a big deal. Come on, I can go to the Goodwill and get all the coats and clothing you could ever want. Ah, but it was a different time. A piece of cloth was a valuable thing to make anything that was from fiber, to create it, to make it. It actually was a very big part of your possessions, your wealth. People did not have walk-in closets unless you were the king. People like you and I, we might have only but just a few garments at all. Work, social, religious, that might be it. So for her to sacrifice her time, her energy, her money, her skill, to go ahead and create these garments, to give away, she was doing the work of love in her heart. You and I in our lives, it's really important for us to let the love in our heart come out into action. Sometimes we're too silent. We don't do enough and say enough about the love that lays within us. And the sad thing, oftentimes, it's when that loved one's gone that we finally muster up to say and show our love. Tabitha, she did it while she was alive. Now, amazingly, God gave her a second chance. Don't count on it happening for you. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Not likely somebody's going to come along and give you a second chance like Peter did here. You and I, we have one shot. One shot to live a life where our love is shown, where we will be remembered. 1 Corinthians, if you'll go with me there, I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I want you to look with me at verses 1 through 3 because I want you to understand the importance of having love expressed and lived. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, and the old English word charity here is love. So he's saying, though I be as eloquent as all men and angels, but I don't have love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. So when we find the apostle writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he says to that church, I remember your work of love. You and I should step back and we should say, will I be remembered for my love? We don't want to be remembered as the meanest dog on the block. We don't want to be remembered as the person who was so hateful and cantankerous that nobody could approach you. You don't want to be remembered as that person that's so cold, nobody knows if you loved anybody. You want to be remembered as the person who worked a labor of love, who did their work of faith, and that they were genuine. Go back with me to 1 Thessalonians, if you would, chapter 1. Let's move down in verse 3, because I want you to see the third thing he remembered about them. And I want us also to be challenged to be remembered in the same way. Again, listen to verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and then the third one, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning in our men's prayer breakfast, I took the guys to actually one of the verses that was in my message this morning in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Because it talks about us not losing hope. You and I should be of all people the most hopeful. There are many things that will come into our lives. Life is such an interesting thing, isn't it? You start out with, you know, the radiance of a baby. It's just amazing, isn't it? I mean, their head shines like my head. I mean, they radiate, don't they? But then things happen as life goes by. You know, when that glow, that radiance gets knocked off by difficulties, struggles, hardships. You and I, we have to be careful. We don't allow life to knock us down and rob us of hope. Here, he remembers. He remembers that these people had patience of hope. And it is interesting that he uses that combination of words, patience of hope. Hope is not the rabbit. Hope is the turtle. It just keeps on keeping on to the very end. It's important for us to be patient in that hope. We look, we hope, we pray, we rest in our Lord Jesus Christ. We look for him to do the work that only he can do in our hearts and our lives. But it doesn't happen like that. It's not a magic wand. We, with patience, wait upon what God has for us. We don't lose hope. We've all seen trying times. Could be marital, it could be physical, could be financial, could be COVID. But we don't lose hope. We know that the Lord is going to take us through. And I usually qualify that by simply saying, even if he takes us through the very valley of the shadow of death, he will be there. We rest in him. We put our hope in him. We patiently wait on him. Psalms 37, verse 34 says, wait on the Lord. Keep his ways. He shall exalt thee. It's important for us to keep on keeping on. Do the work of our faith. Do the work of our love. Do not lose hope. We need to be remembered for the patience of our hope. Look with me in your Old Testament to Psalm 123, if you would. Psalm 123. And I'm going to read to you verses 1 down through 4. In fact, it's the whole chapter, all four verses. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. It's interesting that he says, he's referring that last verse to all those who mock and ridicule them putting their hope in God. But he says instead, he says, God, have mercy on me. I am a person who's full of sin. I am a contemptuous person. But Lord, I look to you and I rest in you. I find mercy in you. And he tells us, he says, I need to have my eyes resting upon you as a servant who looks unto their master, as a maiden who looks unto her mistress. So my eyes wait upon the Lord. You and I, we must never lose our hope. We must ever rest in him. That is something we should be remembered for. Every once in a while, Sandra, Joe, and I will be sitting and chatting and eating, and we have a reference to Eeyore. Does anybody know who Eeyore is? Eeyore, Will Robinson's little buddy. Eeyore is just a person without a lot of hope. They are that mullah grub kind of guy, that person who always sees the glass half empty, never half full. And when you meet an Eeyore, you know an Eeyore. Because an Eeyore, it doesn't take much for them to start pulling you right down into the same hole. It's an attitude, it's a tone, it's a position, it's a perspective. You don't want to be Eeyore. You want to be that person who's remembered for their patience of hope, looking to the Lord, resting in the mercy of the Lord. Yes, there's going to be trials in your life. Yes, there will be difficult times. Yes, there will be times when it looks dark. But you must keep your eye upon the Lord. Do not lose hope. The last one I want you to see, if you go back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, as we move down, I want to jump down to verses 5 and 6, because I want you to see that we should be remembered by the manner of people around us. Isn't that so interesting? Because my parents, and probably when I was a parent, and you that are still parents of small children, we all tell our kids, as we were told, that you will become like the people you spend your time with. You have to beware of who you spend your time with, because they will influence you. In fact, if you're not careful, what they do will get blamed and tagged on you. We should be remembered, and we will be remembered, by the manner of people that we spend our time with. Listen to what he goes on to say in verse 5 and 6. He says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So Paul starts out by talking about him and his associates. He says, when I think of you, I think about how we were once with you, and the influence that we had on you. And our influence was an influence that came not in word only, he says, but in power and in the power of the Holy Ghost with much assurance, meaning much boldness and confidence. So he tells them, the beginning of your Christian walk began with a great influence. But look at what he goes on to say in verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So these people learn to follow good people. That is something we should be remembered for. Who influences us the most in the world that we live in? Who is your greatest influencer? Is it some kind of Hollywood star? Maybe an internet blog star? Maybe it's some sports figure? Maybe it's a Bible character? Maybe it's our Lord? Maybe it's your parents, your friends, somebody. Who do you look to and you think to yourself, they are my hero. They're who I want to be. Sadly, in the world today, many people have set a target that is awfully low. They want to look the poorest, talk the poorest, behave the poorest, and somehow they think that makes them the best. It's so sad. But here the Apostle Paul, he says to the church in Thessalonica, he says, I see in you, and I remember that you became followers of who? The apostles, the teachers and preachers of the gospel, those who were trying to turn the world upside down with the hope of Christ, positive and good things. We forget that the influence of Christianity upon the culture and world of their day was transformational. It took women from the lowest and made them an equal. That's the Bible. That's not a modern 1960s movement. That's the Word of God. It teaches us that there is no difference between a man and a woman in the eyes of God. We are equal. Listen, you don't need to burn anything. You don't need to march. You don't need to do anything but read that in the Bible. Isn't that great? He says, you followed us. You followed us. And it should be in each one of our spiritual lives that we are remembered by the people who have influenced us. We are remembered by the people we surround ourselves with. We are remembered by those who have changed us and shaped us. Certainly throughout each of our lives, if we think back, there are people who have made us who we are. Sometimes they have shaped us and made us by us looking and saying, I am not going to do that. And then there are others who have shaped and made us by being an example. And we say, yes, that is what I want. These folks are remembered. They are remembered as people who have embraced the Word of God, who have accepted the power of the Holy Ghost in their hearts and in lives, who have gone ahead and presented and received Scripture with assurance, even in the midst of a mocking, ridiculing world. Sometimes we forget that it was not easy for Christians in the early days. And maybe in your family, maybe in your workplace, maybe in your neighborhood, they mock you and ridicule you. But don't ever forget, these folks right here, they were arrested. They were whipped. They were beaten and executed because they were Christians. We really do have it pretty easy. You and I, we do need to remember. We need to remember those who made it so that this morning we could come and we could worship freely. This last year has been a little bit of a reminder at how fragile those freedoms really are. They can be taken away at the draft of a pen, can't they? Yet we've had generations of people who have gone and fought for you and I to have the freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to worship, freedom to pursue our happiness as we feel as though God would lead us. Those are freedoms that we exercise every day and forget that somebody paid for them. The Apostle Paul, he remembers. He remembers his brothers and sisters in Christ and their work of faith, their work of love, their patience of hope, and yes, what manner of people they hung out with. You and I, let's take that. Let's take it as a pattern. Let's let this influence us. And let us become those who do the work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope, and are wise about our circle of influence. Let's take just a moment and bow our heads as we come to the end of the message and the end of the service. And as our head is bowed, and as we just take a moment, I just ask you, where are you in your spiritual journey? Have you received Christ as your Savior yet? If you haven't, then today could be the day. You could slip out and come down to this altar, and we will take the Bible and open it, answer your questions, and pray with you that you might receive Christ. And you that are Christians, each of us, what will we be remembered for? What kind of pattern are we setting in our lives? If Paul was writing about you, what would he say? Father in heaven, as we come to this invitation time, I pray for your Holy Spirit to stir and move within our hearts. Help us to be a people that are sensitive and tender to the wooing and working of the power of the Holy Ghost. That we ourselves might yield to you, to your will. Help us to be more than hearers, Lord. Help us to be doers of your word. As you have stirred us towards remembrance, I pray for you to be with us in this invitation time, that we ourselves would do business with you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's all stand, and John is going to lead us in an invitation song. Maybe the Holy Spirit has stirred your heart about something that you need to make changes in your life about. Maybe your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope, or the circle of influence that you have created around you and others. If you want to just come to this altar and kneel down and pray, then come. Or if you want to bow your head and pray there, I invite you to do so. But most of all, if you need to receive Christ today, let me open the Bible. Let me show you. Let me pray with you. Just slip out and come as we sing this invitation song.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to
I surrender.
more verse, and let's sing it as unto the Lord. Let's really genuinely surrender to Him this morning.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Amen. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then I believe we have a closing song that the ladies up on the platform are going to sing for us. But let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You for those who have absolutely paid the ultimate price for us to enjoy the freedoms we have. And I pray that You help us to be a people of remembrance. Be with us as we go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be teaching on why the Middle East rages, why the Holy Land rages, a series on what is causing them to continually fight in the Holy Land. So come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We'd love to have you here. We're dismissed. Thank you.